Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a new favorite Giant, and I'm not ashamed to say it. His name is Rafael Devers.
And that's what life's about.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
So, I just listened to that, and I can't help but think if your new favorite Giant is somebody who's never taken an at-bat for them, at this point,
go ahead. You want to write that?
Does it mean that there's never been a Giant worth being your favorite Giant?
Well, I always talked about stars. You know, the Ohtanis, the Machados, the Tatis, the Betts, the Freemans, and I guess from that vantage point, Steiny, the Giants couldn't offer me that. So you know, Ramos is still my guy, but up until this Dever transaction, you know, I didn't feel that about a Giant hitter. Now I do. And this is, I know people are going to come for me with this take. So you just talked about Adamas and Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
Steiny, I think this guy Devers is your guy, and I'm not running anybody out of town. But if we get down the road, even this offseason, who's to say you couldn't move Chapman or Adamas? For, you know, if there was a package to get you something better than those two guys, like that's what this means now. Like, your cornerstone is this guy. So I get, you know, the young lady from Boston in The Athletic, the article you read, but the game's not over. The poker hand is still going, so I'm not running any of those guys out of town, but the possibilities are endless in regard to, you know, you could flip Chapman or Adamas now because you got that guy named Rafael Devers. Just a thought.
Yeah, I mean, obviously anything's possible. I'd be shocked if they don't let those three guys play together for at least a year or two.
No, yeah, right.
Meaning Chapman and Adamas and Devers, because the reality of the situation is, even though Devers hasn't been great, he projects to be one of your top three hitters. And even though Matt Chapman's not playing right now, he's hurt, he projects to be one of your top three or four hitters. And so right now, you got four legitimate hitters, you would think, right? Those three and Ramos.
Man,
and
all-star last year, Ramos.
Yeah, and let's see what they can do. Let's see if this pitching staff can hold up. Maybe they'll step back a little bit, but if you get the production from the offense with the addition of Devers, it'll be more than a wash. I think that's what Posey's thinking, clearly. With this move.
And I got to say this, Donnie, because I keep going to it, and I know it's a blip on the radar, but the Giants have lost 3 out of 4. The Guardians are no walk in the park. And then Boston looks like they've got their feet up underneath them. So these next 6 games, or you know, this home, they got some hard games. How about that?
Yeah.
No walk in the park, no Rockies.
Let's go to Will. Will's in Marin. Hey, Will, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I noticed there's been a lot of speculation about the ballpark and will it fit for Devers. I think that that's just kind of all nonsense. I mean, let's go back and let's bring up one Pablo A. Sandoval. There is a world where he hit 330 with 25 home runs and had another season at 315 with 23 home runs. Rafael Devers will and always has been a better hitter than him. I believe now Triples Alley will pop again. And the last time I checked, even if he doesn't have the crazy home run numbers, double score runs these days.
Yeah.
I mean, and also to another point, you know, this is no knock on either player. I say this with nothing but straight respect, but if Wilmer Flores and Helio Ramos are showing that the ballpark is not too big for them, I don't think that Devers is going to struggle. And for another thing, too, I know that a lot of people are worried about, oh, you know, there's small talks about could a Kyle Harrison develop into something else. Well, guess what? Kyle Harrison was in the talks where he was going to be a left-handed type schemes guy. And you know what? We kept Hayden Bernsong, who has been much better. He's the more MLB-ready arm. So I really think we came away with this positively. I'm very excited to see what Devers can do. And last note, everybody I know is always worried about that big wall out in right field. Well, guess what? His last home run was an Oppo Taco over the Green Monster. Like, I don't think he's going to have a problem pulling the ball. Maybe not at the variety of Barry Bonds, because he's one of a kind. However, I do think he's going to park him over that arcade, and they're going to bounce off the carom. I'm very excited for this. This was a brilliant move. The ballpark is not going to be too much for Devers. If anything, Devers is going to make this ballpark more live again. So I'm very excited. Thank you guys for taking my call. Thank you for letting me in, Evan, and you guys have a great day.
Back at you.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt that in terms of when you compare Chapman, Devers, and Adamas, like, Devers is the best hitter of the three.
No doubt.
Just he's the best overall hitter of the three. So from that standpoint, the park should be less of a factor for a guy who hits all fields, and that's the one thing we've heard about Devers that he does extremely well. We talked to Rob Bradford yesterday in Boston. He hit a lot of balls off the Green Monster, some of them over,
yeah,
so he can go that way. And I kind of agree with him. It does feel like Devers is a different level of hitter than Chapman and Adamas. Not that those guys are chopped liver, but Devers does seem to me to be a notch above those guys in terms of hitting all fields and not allowing a ballpark to dictate kind of, you know, how he hits.
Right. And our caller, he was on it. He's fired up, rightfully so. Pisani, and we got Scott Osler joining us at 11 o'clock. We can get his, I'm going to ask him the question you asked me in regard to expectations. But you talk about what he just said, that last caller. He said this was a brilliant move. And for what they gave up, Steiny, I can't run from that. Like, this dude is a badass, and the Giants have a caliber hitter like him, you know, for over 20 years.
Zach Manasian was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, and they asked him kind of when things started to percolate with the Devers to San Francisco talk.
I feel like there's been some conversations between our front office and the Red Sox office, probably dating back maybe 2-3 weeks. You know, we kind of throw ideas around the office often, and Buster went to Craig Breslow, asked if this was something, you know, they would consider, and they said they were open to it, and we all kind of got to work.
Yeah, that would have been right around the time or a little after that Devers told Boston, yeah, I don't want to play first base.
Man.
And Buster Posey or somebody in the Giants clearly reached out and started sniffing around, and that's when things started, and then things moved from there. But if Manasian's talking about a 3-week timetable or so, that would dovetail with you know, maybe when things escalated just a hair in Boston with Devers and that organization.
Yeah, and I'm excited. We'll see what transpires, but man, well, Stoney, a 9-game homestand. I'd mentioned they don't got any bottom feeders coming in, but Cleveland, Boston, then you get 3 at home with Miami to end the homestand, and then the White Sox. So you feel like, man, you could get fat here if you handle your business.
Scott Osler of the San Francisco Chronicle is going to join us in 5 minutes. He wrote a story today about Devers and projecting whether this is going to be a mirage or whether it's going to be a miracle. Meaning his acquisition. And so Scotty Osler, longtime columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, going to join us in 5 minutes. And we're talking about the expectations now of this team. And they were already, I thought, pretty high. And a lot of fans, I think, thought this was a playoff team before they got Devers. Now with Devers, I mean, I guess the sky's the limit.
Yeah, no doubt. And I won't use the D word, but I'll do it anyways, Donnie. So it'll be disappointment city if somehow, you know, when it's all said and done, they don't handle their business and Blake break the drought of not making the playoffs since 21.
Yep. Zach Manasian, let's listen to more of what he talked to Willard and Dibs about yesterday. And this is Buster Posey, kind of how he's settling into the job and what he's doing as president of baseball ops.
You know, you try and read the reaction and read the tone of voice, and kind of felt like Kyle, us mentioning Kyle Harrison would maybe be something that had some legs, and it seemed like it. And you know, at that point, as things started to get a little clearer, you know, Buster kind of took it over and did the heavy lifting with Craig Breslow and able to get a deal done. So as far as that happening in June relative to July, you know, Buster just, he was aggressive, and Boston seemed open, and we felt it was an opportunity we just couldn't pass up.
There it is. That's Zach Manasian, the San Francisco Giants general manager.
You know, what's funny to me, Stani, is now in sports and, you know, this culture we're in, or the way our society is, back in the day, a talent like Devers or Jimmy Butler wouldn't be traded because relationships soured. You could always, I just felt like, rectify it, but the, you know, the one thing you did not do is give up pennies to the dollar by letting a guy go because, you know, relationships went sour. But I just can't shake, you know, the feeling of nobody saw this happening. Devers, it got funky in Boston. He's wearing a new uniform. And the same with Jimmy Butler. Like, the talent was so worthy by both of those players that they should have been fixtures and retired at those venues they were at. But now, in the way that it goes now, if you piss me off, Stani, and I don't want to be here, another team, and why I bring this up, could get that fortune of adding you to their team all because the relationships went bad. Like, that's crazy. That's like a whole nother version of free agency to me now. Now you scour everything to, hey, Steiny's great, but, you know, him and Evan are funking, and we got to trade Steiny.
Yeah, I mean, I think the situation with Butler, obviously centered on money. He wanted at least another year on his deal, and Miami said they weren't going to give it to him. Pat Riley said that, and that's what led to kind of the falling out in Miami. When you talk about Butler, everybody seems to agree it's most of the time about money. But it just seems to me like, you know, Devers was done in Boston once they got Bregman. Yeah. And he didn't like the way it all went down. He didn't like the way they were communicating with him or not communicating with him. And it doesn't sound like he really was enthusiastic about being there anymore.
Can I?
Okay. So the Giants pounced, and now they get a player who is numbers speak for themselves, and now we'll get to know him as a guy and a teammate in the clubhouse, because that seems to be the one thing that
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's being talked about. Yeah. What kind of guy is Rafael Devers?
Yeah, no doubt. And this is the ultimate, and I know we're not in Boston, Stani, Monday morning quarterback, but I do wonder if the Boston front office, the FO, is thinking, well, damn, we didn't think it would get like this, or Rafael would take the acquisition of Bregman to this degree. I almost feel like, would they have done it knowing it would have cost him Devers?
Say that again.
You know, when Boston added Bregman, I think they thought that they're going to have both of those guys at their disposal for years to come. I'm just double back and wondering now, and we'll never know the answer, if the Boston Red Sox front office is like, they'll never say it, but had we known that this move was going to cost us the relationship with Devers and his services, would we have even done it in the first place?
I mean, it's a good question. It sounds to me, though, that, you know, Boston's got some younger players that maybe they want to get some at-bats for, and I do think it probably had a lot to do with the Red Sox looking at 8.5 more years and seeing a guy that just wasn't enthusiastic about being there. And I don't necessarily think he was a malcontent, but I think that
he turned into one a little bit, though, Stoney.
No, I just think that everybody kind of knew he wasn't into it. And when you have a guy like that, then maybe you got to make a move. But I don't get the sense he was wreaking havoc. I just get the sense that everybody in the organization kind of knew he was no longer all the way invested because of the way he felt like he was treated. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Let's head out to the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's welcome in Scott Osler, San Francisco Chronicle columnist. His most recent piece on the trade for Devers. Will the Giants trade for Devers be remembered as a miracle or mirage? What's going on, Scott? How you doing, man?
Danny and Guru, how you guys? What's up?
Hanging in.
What's going on?
We're doing
anything new?
Yeah, we're doing great. Listen, you've got your finger on the pulse. First thing I want to ask you is, just, you know, you've seen a lot of trades in the Bay Area over the years. Where do you put the excitement level of this one with some of the other big moves that some of the Bay Area pro franchises have made?
Well, the two most recent ones that come to mind, and you guys have mentioned, Christian and Jimmy. And among those three, this one is, by far, the biggest for initial impact. Because remember, Jimmy, for initial impact, I was kind of lukewarm. The only reason I liked that trade for Jimmy was because Steph liked it. And I wrote a column saying, well, you know, if Steph liked it, it's good enough for me. Let's give it a shot. I had no idea what Jimmy was going to do. With Christian McCaffrey, I was more excited about that because I thought, this guy's really a good player. You know, he's a little fragile and everything. Man, this guy's a great, not just a running back, but a great player. And so there was excitement there, and that panned out. But to me, this one eclipses that because this guy is just he's young. They've locked him up for long term. He's exactly what they need. I just can't send. I had a hard time finding the downside. And here's how I know it was a great trade. I'm listening to you guys for the last hour or so, and you're not even arguing about it.
Scott, there you go.
You didn't listen yesterday.
He's right. Scott, Stoney asked me a few minutes ago, and I'm going to run it by you because I can't rob the Giants of their great start. But I got to be honest, partner. I was like, I don't know if this team before the Devers trade, and I won't call it anemic, but, you know, offense was hard. I didn't know if they had staying power. So he asked me about expectations. Scotty, mine are through the roof now in regard to not just making the playoffs, but winning a series. Have your expectations changed for this Giant team after this move?
Yeah, they've gone through the roof. And I thought that the fact that the Giants were so close to the Dodgers and everything was kind of a mirage, that the Giants were overachieving considering how crappy they were hitting. They've been hitting. And so this picks them up instantly. It makes them nice. I was looking at their number 21 in MLB and OPS, and that's way down there. And they're way down in home runs. And they're just, you can't hit this way and be a legitimate playoff contender. I know in the playoffs, pitching is really big, and they got the pitching, but you got to have some hitting. They just didn't have that. Now they've got it, and I think that's huge. Not only that, but I can't see, like, they've had a black hole at hitting wise, the second base, shortstop, first base, catcher, those four key positions for the first third of the season. And that can't continue. They've already picked it up at first base. You expect Willy Adames to pick it up. So you combine that with the new guy, with Devers and Devers, I'm sorry. And to me, it's very exciting. To me, I just see them on the upswing. I think they were just kind of hanging on by their fingernails, it seemed like. And now they've got a pretty strong hold on the bar.
Scott Osler joining us on 95.7 The Game, San Francisco Chronicle columnist. Scott, the one thing I want to get your opinion on, and I'm just going to give you some of my thoughts, is when Chris Cohan owned the Warriors and then he sold it to Joe Lacob, and Lacob took over and then he hired Jerry West and Myers, it felt like just everything changed. It just they were in on guys you'd never thought they'd be in on. And then I'm thinking about John Lynch down in San Francisco after they came in after a guy like Trent Baalke, and it just seemed like he gave the 49ers some credibility. And it just feels like Posey has done the same thing. It feels like all three of those guys have moved the franchise from the periphery to kind of the forefront. Like, what is it about a guy like Buster Posey that's allowed him to make some of these moves that weren't made in the previous 6 or 8 years?
Yeah, that's a good question, because, we all know Buster and his personality. He's not this wild, outgoing guy. He's kind of a reserved, quiet guy. And also, the one of the storylines with him coming into the job was that, he's got kids at home. Why would he want this job? Maybe just in this is a part-time, kind of a symbolic job. He's just going to be a figurehead kind of guy. And he seems to have, like, dived in like a cannonball into the pool. And he seems really determined, and he's a smart guy. And it just is like he's figured stuff out. And he really wants to make the team better. And it's little things. It's like when they moved the analytics department from right inside the clubhouse, and they moved him upstairs. So the clubhouse is actually a baseball clubhouse. And that might seem like a small thing, but Buster did that. And I think he's, unless somebody proves to us that he'd lucked into this Devers deal and then they just came to him and basically handed it to him and he didn't have to work for it. But I still think the whole feeling ever since he took over is just totally different. And you're right. Teams, you see it here in two teams you mentioned, Steiny, and you see it all over sports. When there's a changeover, a new regime comes in, it makes a huge difference. And apparently that's happened here.
Scott, and I want to speak for Giant fans, but just from my standpoint, the fact that this move was done so early, I don't want to sound like a fat rat, but if you got Giant fans out there, they're going to get, some games to watch this team gel with Devers. You still got the trading deadline upon us. I mean, how exciting is that? Because it looks like to me the Giants are leaving no stone unturned.
No, absolutely. I can't think that Buster just kicking back now and saying, okay, we're done for the year. He's got to be wheeling and dealing. This is fantastic. And one thing popped into my mind when I was listening to you guys in the last segment is one thing I'm going to be interested in seeing whatever's coming is that if he gets some help from a guy who knows the ballpark fairly well and knows how to hit left-handed.
Wow.
A power guy in his ballpark. You know who that is?
Barry Lamar Bonds.
Yeah. What if Bonds, who is said to be a phenomenal hitting coach and just a guy who knows how to hit baseballs and can convey that, what if he endeavors kind of bond? What if they take in liking to one another? Bonds knows all the secrets, how to hit. He knows you can't pull everything. Endeavors doesn't do that. Endeavors is an opposite field hitter also. And Barry can teach him the secrets of hitting at Oracle Park. And, man, this guy could hit 50 home runs this year.
Scott Osler joining us on 95.7 The Game. Let me ask you this, Scott, because you've been around a little bit, not too long. But,
in 10... I've been around a while. Yeah, so that's not sugarcoated.
Yeah, okay. But in 10, 12, and 14, you were in the Bay Area. I was in the Bay Area. The Giants, the interest in the Giants was just unbelievable. I thought it was essentially a phenomenon, what was going on at that ballpark for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Warriors came along... Giants dipped a little bit, and of course the Warriors took over, and the Giants have been a little bit in a malaise. Where are they right now in terms of, if I said, Scott, are the Giants back in this city?
I would say they're definitely back.
Mm.
And I keep looking. I look at this guy's stats. I look at what he does. I look at his track record, his consistency over the last few years, and he's still young. And he's created instant excitement. And unless something totally blows up, because everything else is working in their favor. You know, like I said, Willie Adames, he'll start hitting. Things will start clicking. Hitting-wise, the team has got to be on the upswing. And with this guy coming in, I think it just changes everything. I think people are very, very excited. I think that the players, imagine if you're one of the Giants and you've been slugging it out and you've been, you know, trying to put together these one-run victories, you know, nervous time every night, torture, as Dwayne Kuiper would say, and all of a sudden the big stick comes in town. Aren't you kind of excited and fired up about this new guy coming in? I would think it just energizes the whole team, which is going pretty well already. I know they lost 3 or 4, but I just think this is the timing and everything is phenomenal. And I think the fans are just going to latch onto this. The fans who could not watch, I have not watched every Giants game this year.
Right.
Been busy with Warriors and stuff like that. I'm going to be kind of hanging with the TV and at the ballpark and everything. So it certainly makes a huge change. Yeah.
No, I'm with you, Scott. Hey, you cover them all. You cover all the sports. So I'm going to throw you a curveball because we don't get to talk much. But I was telling Stani last week about the Niners, Scott. This is the first time since 19. I don't know what to expect from them. Was last year an anomaly? Like, what's the great Scott Osler think of the Niners heading into this season?
Well, a couple months ago, I would have thought, oh, my God, they're not even going to sniff the playoffs. They're throwing the season away. They're planning for 2 years from now. And that's kind of shifted radically in the last, 6 weeks or so with the signing of Brock Purdy and the signing of Warner and, the re-signing of him and the contracts to basically, you know, the drill. They've been very aggressive, not only signing and getting their guys into camp and getting everyone fired up, but they're looking at new guys, and some of the new guys look pretty good. And I've changed like 180 degrees. Now I see them as a legitimate contender, you know, not as a Super Bowl contender necessarily, but as a, you know, a 2 or 3 rounds in the playoffs kind of team. And I hate to sound like a homer and a fanboy and all this stuff, but my outlook has changed drastically on them in the last month.
Well, you also probably took a look at that schedule, Scott.
That's true.
Hey, Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
You lose.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, Scotty, thank you so much for joining us. And Giants just made some hay, no doubt about it.
You're the man.
Yeah, fellas, hey, get back to arguing now.
We'll do. That's Scott Osler, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop?
He's great, Stani, but I got to say something because you guys got into it, and I don't want to be sometimey or prisoner of the moment. It happens. But the Warriors with Butler, the Niners to me, I'm not like Scott. He's all in. I got to believe the Giants might be the hottest ticket in town right now.
Valkyries might be on the phone.
Especially you just slapped me.
Especially with Caitlin Clark coming in here Thursday.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, you're going to want to listen tomorrow from noon to 12:30. We'll be giving away a couple tickets to the Valkyries Indiana Fever game. That's at 12 to 12:30 tomorrow. Tomorrow, of course, the Fever in town on Thursday at Chase Center. No, I think like the one thing that, you know, I remember is about 2 weeks ago, and I've been referencing this because I think the entire season kind of pivoted on it, when the Giants won the last two games against the Padres, and then they won, six straight, maybe seven straight one-run games. And just kind of the way they were doing it, I was thinking, you know, this team, I get it, they don't score a lot of runs, but the way they're playing is kind of, you know, captivating me a little bit. I don't necessarily need 10-8 games. I just like a team with an identity that knows how to win, and it felt like they were developing that, and there was a lot of excitement. And then, I'm kind of with Scott. Then you get a guy like Devers, and it's kind of like you guys were saying yesterday You didn't even care about what happened Sunday against the Dodgers.
Man.
The focus now becomes the second half of this season and how good this team can be.
Yeah, and Scott just mentioned it, Stani. Again, I keep going back to Barry in regard to must-see at bat, but that's how I feel like when you ask me, you know, I'm saying Devers is my new favorite Giant. I guess I'm back to that. If I'm in the kitchen or doing what have you, you know, I just know where they're at in the lineup. I'm watching all the time anyway. But, man, this guy's special with the plate, and hopefully he can bring what he did in Boston here.
888-957-9570 is the number. Rafael Devers is a San Francisco Giant, and they play the Cleveland Guardians tonight. Best of three, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we're talking about the expectations of the Giants. And the thing I find interesting is even before they got Devers, this team had captured some excitement. There's no doubt about it. They were looking like a playoff team. They were looking like a team that was really leaning into pitching and defense and timely hitting. And now they get Rafael Devers. And I'm wondering, you know, it's just with the baseball playoffs, you know, I thought they had a good chance to make the postseason this year. And now they probably have a better chance. What does it mean, Guru, you know, if and when this becomes a playoff team, how much of a better shot does Devers give them to make a run in the postseason?
Oh, man, I'm going to go capital T, Stani, and that's for threat. They are a major threat in my assessment now moving forward. And you know, Scott just said it. He was real. He thought it was a mirage in regard to, you know, them keeping this up, the Giant team without Devers. But now, not just staying power, you talk about just sustainability, legit guys at the plate. Like, I feel like they got action. I really do.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much of this is expectations versus possibilities, if you know what I mean. So with Devers, like the way I look at it is, do my expectations change of the Giants?
Yeah.
In a way, they don't, because I still view them as a playoff team, because I viewed them as a playoff possibility before Devers. Obviously, Devers solidifies that. But what it does for me is it doesn't really change the expectations, but it changes what could be possible. And it does feel like now they do have a better chance to have some staying power, not only for the rest of the regular season, but if they get into the postseason, you got to believe they have like a better crack at making a run.
Let me ask you this, and I hear you. If they go or you see with Devers actually on the field and in the lineup on their version of the Warriors 18-3, would you then say, oh, I see it. It's glaring now. Do you think that could change your expectations?
You mean like if they win?
Yeah, if they get hot, you know, 10 of the, you had mentioned it earlier, like 10 of 12.
I mean, if they win 10 of 12 or they get off to a great start with Devers, I mean, the first thing that's going to happen is they'll probably be in first place in the National League West. And if you're in first place in the National League West on July 1st or on July 1st, then that's got to become the goal. To win the division, because at that point you'll be halfway through the year, and I think it's fair at that point to ask, well, can we have a second half of the season like the first, and can we end up winning the division? The goal is obviously to win the division. Whether they've leapfrogged the Dodgers or not,
I'm not ready to say that.
I don't
yet.
Know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm but not ready to say that.
But I'd like to think they're going to start, you know, to become entrenched as a wild card team, at least to start.
Mm-hmm. And who's to take? You got to finish ahead of the Padres and other teams, but you could be the first wild card if you don't get the division. But I'm not saying the division is something they shouldn't strive for, because obviously they are. But this just changes everything, and now nothing's left but the players to go out there, Bob Melvin manage. And let me ask you this, just from a Melvin standpoint, Stani, I know it didn't work out in San Diego. And it wasn't because they didn't have a weaponry. They had it all, to me, as far as offensive boppers. Didn't work out. He had to find a new locale, and it was here. But there's got to be, I got to believe, good pressure, but added pressure on Melvin now to make this thing work.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like this is not a difficult team to manage personality-wise. Mm. I don't think they got any bad guys on the team. I think generally, you know, 1 through 25 knows what they're expected to do. And I think it's a good question, though. I mean, now you start looking at this team,
man,
and they got three veterans, you know, in the middle of the lineup with Adamas, Chapman, and Devers. And how much managing does he have to do with those three? How much managing does he have to do, you know, with Ramos, who's entrenched now, with Jung-Hoo Lee? You know, I don't know that I would ever look at this team and if something didn't go right, think it could be Melvin. You know what I mean? I just don't. What could Bob Melvin do differently than he's done his entire career, where we'd ever say, man, he's not the manager for this team.
Well, you know what?
I think we're a long way off.
Yeah.
From that.
In San Diego, it was ego central. I mean, you had all kind of guys, and the rumors and the people in the know talk about that's where Melvin kind of lost the team, was they had clubhouse politics and issues that he couldn't fix or rectify, you know. But for you to say the Giants don't have a plethora of guys like that with, well, you don't got a lot of stars caliber of Devers, Donnie, so Melvin should be good on that front.
Yeah, you would think so. 888-957-9570 is the number. Rafael Devers.
Bam, it starts tonight.
It starts tonight against the Cleveland Guardians. And then in an interesting scheduling situation, this the Red Sox are in town at the end of the week. So we'll get to see Devers play against his former team and at Oracle Park. So the Giants have captivated their fan base over the last two or three weeks with their play. And now with this acquisition, the interest level is clearly
through the roof,
you know, at another point right now. More Zach Manasian. This is talking about getting Devers and yet using the past of not being able to get a big boy and how all that factored in.
But as we look at our team right now and in the future, we just felt like this type of bat, given some of the struggles we've had to attract bats like this in the past, this was going to be the way to access this type of bat. So, you know, not easy to give up Kyle, not easy to give up James Tibbs, you know, so on and so forth. But it's just the price of paying business. And to get someone like this who I think has the potential to transform our offense, just felt like the right thing to do.
Zach Manasian on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, talking about, to me, that's an admission, which is great. And that is, we haven't had any success with free agents for the most part, so we got to go get them in a trade. And that's what they did. And, you know, at some point they're going to talk to Devers and find out what he wants to do and how he wants to be used. But, man, the more I hear everybody talking about this trade, they might have made it. They might have made it even if Devers wasn't crazy about coming here.
Yeah. Hey.
And I don't know that he is or isn't, obviously.
I hear you. But I'll say this. Third base, Stoney, and I think you can back me up, that's unrealistic right now for Devers. So as long as the bat's in the lineup, there you go. And just speaking to Zach, he was just on with the Morning Joes before his appearance with Willard and Dibbs a couple weeks ago, Stoney, and the Giants were doing well, and he was excited then. But, man, I just bring that up because now you get to introduce today at 2:30 your new acquisition via trade. And like the great Scott Osler said, Stoney, he can't remember in a long while. And I can't, you know, hate on Buster because he was the man. But, man, a bat like this in this lineup, I mean, it's going to be exciting.
888-957-9570 is the number. We've spent a lot of time talking about the positives of this move because there seemed to be a plethora of them. Is there any danger in this move? If you're a Giants fan, is there anything that gives you a little pause? 888-957-9570. The Valkyries, they take on the Dallas Wings today at 5 o'clock, and you can hear the game right here on the Odyssey app. Just download it and search Valkyries and tune in at 5 o'clock for the action. And tomorrow, we're going to be giving you a chance to go see Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. They play Thursday. Listen, between noon and 12:30 tomorrow for your chance to go see one of the greatest players in all of sports. You can also listen to the game right here on 95.7 The Game. For your tickets, go to Valkyries.com. That segment also brought to you by Safeway.
Yeah, fellas, hey, get back to arguing now.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Goo, I love you. You're like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get with Goo.
John Sally.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Rafael Devers. Going to play tonight. That's the hope. Going to meet the media at 2:30 today. We'll have him live. During the Willard and Dibb show, and he's going to, I was going to say he's going to play, but I don't know where.
Yeah, well, he'll be in, we know he's hitting, but it's kind of funny, Stoney. He's been a cornerstone for the Red Sox at the hot corner, and it's just kind of funny. This year he hadn't played any infield, but how big of a transition is that? You go from, you know, going out in the field, hitting, and now you just hit, you know? And it looks like that could be his role here.
I think, you know, that's to be determined. Here's the Zach Minazian on whether or not they've spoken to Devers.
We're going to end up talking to him when he's in town. So we haven't had that conversation with him yet. But we'll have it. And look, you know, by all accounts, and even in Buster's conversations with Craig, he's a winner. You know, he wants to help us win. There's been some things since the trade that have gotten back to us, you know, really positive about how he feels about coming here. So we'll have that conversation with him, and go from there.
All right. So it's all been, secondhand so far in terms of, the perception of how Devers feels. Any concern that you have about that, Goo?
No, they were 3 hours away from that presser. I got to believe they've had the conversation, and, you know, I keep going here, but the parallels are just scary. But I got to believe he's happy just to be out of Boston. So somehow, Stoney, they were to finesse him, or he wanted to go over to first base. You think of Dominic Smith and Flores, you know, what that would mean for them. But I don't think that's on the marquee. I would like to see him in the field, but the bottom line is I got to believe he's so happy just to get out of Boston that he'd be okay just DHing. And I'm sure that'll be one of the questions. I'm sure they're taking questions at the presser.
Jonathan Papelbon, 6-time All-Star, World Series champion. He works for Nesson in Boston. Mm-hmm. He was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday. And I guess we got to get to some of this. But he was asked what kind of teammate Rafael Devers was. Take a listen, Goo.
I do. He wasn't willing to conform to what the Red Sox needed. And when you're the highest paid player and your company or your team needs something, I think it's up to that person that they have to do what's best for the team. Am I in that clubhouse? No, I'm not. Do I hear little riffs and stuff about what's going on? Yeah, here and there. But I do know for 110% fact that John Henry was not happy with Rafael Devers. And John Henry solely made this decision.
And that's the owner of the Red Sox.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just telling you, I know you're laughing at me. We'd have to have a sit down before, you know, I would take back what the Red Sox did to say night night to him. And I just feel like, again, we're not in Boston, but Stani, if there was even 1% that I could lose your services by me making a transaction and bringing somebody to the team, I would go talk to you, not kiss your butt, but I would talk to you so we would never get to the juncture to where you got to go. And whatever the Red Sox do, hey, they do, but you can't tell me it's going to be easier without Devers.
I mean, on paper, it wouldn't seem to be the case. I mean, that's the thing you kind of never know about. I mean, you'd expect the Red Sox to falter a little bit. You'd expect the Giants to ascend. And that's obviously what Buster Posey's counting on. So we just got to let it play out and see if that's the case. This is more. Jonathan Papelbon, again, he works for Nesson in Boston. And this is about Devers and the media. And, you know, that's one thing we haven't even talked about at all, the media in Boston versus the media here in San Francisco. But here's what Papelbon said about Devers with the media.
Rafael Devers does not do media. He does not talk to the media. He does not make himself available. He does not do team functions. And he had became a cancer in the clubhouse of the Red Sox way. And so John Henry stepped in and said, I don't want this type of player in my clubhouse, and I'm willing to get whoever it takes to get in here, even if it's a bunch of minor league prospects none of us have never heard of, just to get rid of the $250+ million he's owed.
Man, my man used the C word. Who the hell? I mean, Jordan went to team functions, right? Like, damn, Stoddy. And I get he's got the interpreter, so the media availability is not there on a nightly basis, so we kind of miss out on that. Or, you know, the interpreter will be there and we can get his thoughts. But to say you're not, if that's true, I don't do functions, team functions. Like, I wouldn't have fun playing with that guy because I get mad at guys that won't go with us to the cafeteria.
I mean, to me.
Jesus Christ, man.
Let's do it one more time, and I'll tell you who I thought of.
Rafael Devers does not do media. He does not talk to the media. He does not make himself available. He does not do team functions. And he had became a cancer in the clubhouse of the Red Sox way. And so John Henry stepped in and said, I don't want this type of player in my clubhouse, and I'm willing to get whoever it takes to get in here, even if it's a bunch of minor league prospects none of us have never heard of, just to get rid of the $250+ million he's owed.
I'm starting to get it.
Wow, man.
I'm starting to get why Evan texted a few nights ago, the Giants have just acquired Jimmy Butler. He does sound a little bit like Jimmy Butler. It sounds to me like he marches a little bit to his own drummer, if you will. I'm far less concerned about Devers here than in Boston. It seemed like it had gotten personal there,
yeah, right?
Kind of like with Jimmy Butler in Miami. But the other thing is, unless I'm, you know, completely out of it, I mean, this is a relatively new development with Devers. I mean, he's been playing Major League Baseball for a while, and it seems like, you know, something clearly happened in Boston. And they acted sooner rather than later because they just were not crazy about what I just can't put it any other way. It doesn't seem like he wanted to be a Red Sox anymore.
Yeah. And I'm being honest with you all, Stani, I'm thinking he thought he was untouchable. And I kind of understand that with what he's meant and what he's accomplished in a Boston Red Sox uniform. So there's no doubt it goes back to his ego and them telling him, your position is gone. We've given it away to somebody coming in. And with just hearing that soundbite, I mean, man, but that's the bottom line. That's what sent him over the top in regard to, you know what? I'm out. I'm not vested in this team anymore.
Yeah, this is Jonathan Papelbon. who joined Willard and Dibbs. He works for Nesson, World Series champion, former closer for the Red Sox, six-time All-Star.
This decision was not made by Alex Cora. This decision was not made by Craig Breslow. This decision was made by the man who cuts and writes his checks, John Henry. John Henry flew into Boston about a month ago to have a sit-down, very serious conversation with Rafael Devers and asked him to do what the team needed, to do what the team needed in order to make the team better. He said no to that, and now John Henry has made the decision that he doesn't want that in his clubhouse. He wants a certain type of player that plays the Red Sox way, and it doesn't matter how much money you are or how good you are. He did the same thing with Manny Ramirez. He got rid of him as well.
All right, Jonathan Papelbon.
Yeah. Man. And I think that's about, like I said, Stoney, what's the what word am I looking for? Words, fresh start. It's a fresh start, and I feel like Devers doesn't feel like the Giants stabbed him in the back, and obviously I feel like that's what he feels like the Red Sox did to him. And then we got former general manager Jim Bowden joining us at 12:15.
Yeah, Jim Bowden joining us at 12:15, former Major League Baseball general manager for 16 years, also an executive of the year, works for CBS Sports now, The Athletic in the past. Jim Bowden joining us at 12:15. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Planning a road trip, Tahoe, Napa, or down the coast. Make your first stop Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Drive in, stay in your car, and be done in just 15 minutes. Your ride will be ready before you even pack the snacks. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com for coupons.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.